Wendy, were you standing up to say, come on, Brian, get going? We're still missing Lisa. Okay. Should we give Ken a moment to get back in here?
So I did Good Things Utah today, guest host.
Oh.
Full 2 hours.
Oh. Let's get started. I assume Councilmember Baskin will join us at some point. I'd like to welcome everyone to the City Council work session, April 2nd, 2024. Our first item is the annual report from the Health and Wellness Committee. And I'll let Elisa Van Langeveld introduce Janet Wells.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm thrilled to see this report. We're ready. Janet is going to present on what the Health and Wellness Committee has been doing this last year. We'll also have a conversation on some of the directives for moving forward into this next year. Janet was just put in as chair of the committee this year, 2024, but she has been on the committee from the beginning and has been a really impressive contributor. And so, Janet, please.
Thank you. Can everybody hear me? I hope that's close enough. Wave at me if I get a little too far away and you can't hear me. As Elisa said, I am the chair of the committee, and we also have Mason Bennett here, who is the vice chair. And my slide thing is not working. Okay. 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 So I would like to introduce Mason Bennett. He is the vice chair, so in all likelihood, next year he will be up here giving a presentation. My term ends at the end of this year. But Mason was recently appointed and is a fantastic contributor to the committee. We also have Corey Markich, who is, he was the chair last year. And Jane Hall and Chase Larson are new additions. And then, of course, Elisa is there at every meeting representing the city council. We also have staff members Ken Latham, Sherry Pace, Craig Black, and Linda Horrocks that attend all our meetings. Now, I just wanted to quickly review for the City Council our established duties, because I know there's several members here who were not part of the City Council when our committee was established. So the things that we have been tasked with are to review research and existing research and programs. So whether those be in the community, in local educational organizations, higher education, or county programs, state programs, and such. Additionally, we are to create strategy recommendations to address any barriers that we see community members struggling with. We also prepare and present a formal annual report, as I'm doing today, and then we carry out city-approved programs and initiatives. So our areas of interest as tasked by the City Council are with reviewing and researching programs related to the following topics: physical and mental health, emergency preparedness, personal wellness, food and housing access, addiction, and then we added a social media and newsletter category because that is our method of communication with the community. Additionally, we can add any other public health or general welfare issues that we see that arise or that we think we can help with. So in 2023, our committee accomplished the following initiatives. So we continued our partnership with the with Davis Behavioral Health's Communities That Care program, which already had established programs that we just needed to tap into. Now, Davis Behavioral Health is its own entity, and they partnered with Communities That Care, and they offer their programs. We held several Circle of Security classes, which are one of the ones that are offered by Communities That Care. They're for families, and then we did one Everyday Strong workshop. We had varying levels of interest, from very full classes to very low enrollment that resulted in having to cancel the class. We think that the timing was really the issue with the low enrollment, and so we are working at scheduling future ones at times that we think that are better for the community. So, for example, scheduling one to happen during spring break or summer break is really challenging for families. But after things settle, once kids return to school, that's a better time. We're avoiding, obviously, the holiday periods at the end of the year as well. So that's something, a takeaway that we had from this last year. Additionally, we had a health and wellness fair that was held in conjunction with the police department's Night Out Against Crime. We chose that event because it gets high attendance, and so we dovetailed that. And that happened our second year in a row. We invited the Davis County Health Department to participate, as well as healthcare-related businesses in North Salt Lake, so that we could help residents tap into those close resources. We also had a presence at the South Davis Emergency Preparedness Fair and the County Emergency Preparedness Fair. Additionally, we had a presence at monthly senior lunch bunch events. And by the way, the seniors really enjoy it. And for some seniors, it may be the only social event that they get. So thank you very much to the City Council for funding that. We held a brainstorming meeting with the seniors during which we heard from seniors that their reliance on electronic and digital methods for disseminating things electronically really posed a challenge for them. So, some have difficulty just managing with electronic devices because of vision issues. Some don't have computer access. Some are intimidated by the technology. So we have really endeavored to provide demos if we need to disseminate something electronically. And if we can do paper handouts, we do that as well. We provided information to them about diabetes classes that were offered by Lakeview Hospital on a monthly basis, senior services that are provided by the county at the local Bountiful location, as well as paper copies of the city newsletter. The committee also commissioned the wellness survey, and that was the one from Utah State, and they came and presented the results, I know, to City Council. And I'll be talking more about that in a minute. We also asked for several social media posts to be put on the under the city's logo to support some of these activities. And we will be continuing that as well. Lastly, several committee members attended Davis County's Healthy Communities event. Elisa may have talked about that to the City Council. That event was just excellent, and Mason and I both attended as well. It provided really great information, but also gave us an opportunity to network. One of the highlights of the presentation was Dr. Andy Wong, who provided just fabulous information about healthy aging and their Healthy Aging and Resilient Places lab, their HARP lab. It was launched in 2021 with funding support from the Center on Aging at the University of Utah. The HARP lab builds off of research and collaboration with the University of Utah surrounding the concept of resilient places. It focuses on bringing together city planning principles, geriatric physicians, architects, and social workers to understand what municipalities can do to help people age in place. And to also design infrastructure to support healthy living for those with advanced age or disability. This has impacted my family. And if any of you have any questions, I can give you some very detailed explanations about how it can make such a difference in a senior or disabled person's life to have these concepts integrated in your city planning. They focus on categories that they identified as essential. Housing, outdoor spaces and buildings, transportation, communication and information, civic participation and employment, respect and social inclusion, health services and community support, and social participation. Social participation is huge in this population. Additionally, we were able to network with the Davis County Health Department. And in discussions with them, I found that they lost their space in Woods Cross. So any resident who needs their services has to go to Clearfield. So this prompted some discussion about, well, is there something that we can do to facilitate providing those existing services in a more convenient venue? And so I asked, what if the city gave you some space that you could use intermittently, you know, just a conference room or something like that? They were like, that would be fabulous. And when I brought it back to the committee, one of the committee members shared the experience of needing to get some WIC assistance, but it being such a problem to be able to get all the way to Clearfield with small kids between nap schedules and school pickup schedules, and it just became so burdensome that, you know, they threw up their hands and said, we can't do it. And so by that simple action of providing a little bit of space once a week, once every 2 weeks, something like that, we can combine our efforts and achieve some synergy that really benefits the community. So we also have identified some strategic enhancements that we're making as we go forward. We're focused on expanding our collaboration with other committees and agencies, as I previously mentioned, much like we have with Davis Behavioral Health. We've identified which committees have a degree of overlap with our mission, and our committee members have taken assignments to liaise with each of those committees. We want to leverage what already exists and not reinvent the wheel. In many instances, those other committees or agencies are experts in what they do. One recent example is Mason met with Parks and Arts Committee and discussed a recommendation. City Council Member Knowlton has heard about this, to install bike repair stations in high bike traffic areas such as Eagle Ridge Drive, which was his suggestion for a location, and Legacy Trail. Some people might not know that there are no bike repair stations along Legacy Trail in North Salt Lake. The closest one is West Bountiful. So if you have a flat tire and you don't have the right tools or a pump or something, you might have a very long walk. And so we passed that suggestion on to the Parks and Arts Committee, and they are going to take that and run with it. It's a reasonable one-time cost, and they're working on that. But Mason even identified a bike shop in North Salt Lake that will supply the stations at cost. This is an example of how we are just trying to work with other committees to leverage our ideas. Another enhancement that we have made is individual committee members are taking ownership for driving goals that may need some effort outside of our normal meetings, outside of our committee meetings. So for 2024, we have, within the categories that I previously listed, we have established goals, and I've got a slide for each one. In the physical and mental health category, we have 5 goals. We will once again promote and host at least 2 communities that care classes per year. We're thinking about a third one as well, but as previously mentioned, the timing can sometimes be a challenge, so if we can fit it in, we will. Staff has completed an inventory of existing city open space, parks, and outdoor assets, and we'll be reviewing that, and that will provide a basis for our selection of areas to highlight, as well as give us a good inventory of what is available for events that we may wish to sponsor. As I mentioned, we'll be working with the Parks and Arts Committee, and we will co-sponsor 3 to 4 trail events per year. One of our committee members has already started the ball rolling on that, Mason. He will be using the Strava app that participants can optionally use if they want to coordinate amongst participants to boost camaraderie. So we will also be collaborating with Davis County Health Department to provide the space that that I talked about a slide or two ago. They have a van that they can bring. It does not have a restroom though, so it's really nice for them to have indoor space. It's climate controlled in here. So we're working with Ken on coordinating that. And lastly, we will be promoting a program you may not have heard of called One Kind Act a Day. And we want to be designated as a community of kindness. So this is a local Utah initiative that was started just last year by the Semnani Foundation. Don't know if you've ever heard of Khosrow Semnani. And they have some very prominent participants. Gail Miller, the LDS Church, the Catholic Church, the Islamic organization, Jewish organization, U of U, and the Eccles Foundation have all partnered with the Semnani Foundation. So I'm going to turn the time over to Mason for a moment to just give you a little bit more information about that.
Hi. So Curtis was here a couple weeks ago, and he presented a little bit. And we've already been talking with some of you. I know Ted and Tammy both signed up and took our kindness pledge. I saw your names come in. I'm sorry, Councilperson Knowlton and Councilperson Clayton signed up. And we've been, Mayor Horrocks and Councilperson Van Langeveld and I and Curtis have gone to Orchard Elementary and Foxborough to talk to the schools about doing initiatives. And Councilperson Jackson has reached out too for some materials to hand out. And so we've been really excited with a lot of the initiative and the desire to participate in this program from the city. I know Orchard Elementary is starting something this month that they'd like to do, and we're really excited in trying to get more kindness and civility and unity within our community. This is something I thought about during the recent election time. You know, North Salt Lake is a really great, already kind community. During the panel or debate among the different council people who are running, you know, everyone was just very civil and kind, and this is just a really great city and a really great community, and we really think it'd be great to keep promoting this kind of work and this kind of initiative here in North Salt Lake. So if you have more questions, you know how to reach out. All right.
Okay, our next category is emergency preparedness. Now, it's our recommendation that the bylaws, specifically Article 5 of the bylaws, be amended to remove this from our committee's area of responsibility. We feel that this is just such a broad topic, and it's really better supported by experts in that field or a standalone committee of volunteers. Because it really is just a substantial topic that is a project all of its own. So subsequent goals here are not going to include that. If you want us to include it, please let us know. Otherwise, it's just going to remain off our radar. Any comments?
I brought this up at our budget retreat, and The city coordinates with county and the fire, and they do their own thing.
Right.
And I think that was kind of our conclusion, too, was it's kind of a big topic. And maybe our conclusion was just each of us individually need to do our own preparedness, and the city will do their thing.
Uh-huh.
And in fact, I was looking for something today and going through my box to try to find something, and I ran into my emergency preparedness folder, and I had my little red "Yes, I need help" door hanger, and so yeah, I think we're all sort of prepared, and I don't know that maybe churches and other organizations can step up here, but the city's doing what it needs to do for their preparedness, and I think we're just maybe just telling citizens we all know we need to be prepared.
And I mean, there are things that the city can do to provide resources, informational resources, and you know, in a separate arena. Actually, that's been my calling at church for the last 5 years. So I actually have amassed a fair amount of resources that I would be happy to share with the city. But as far as officially coming from our committee, we kind of feel like it's not really our area of expertise. So we'll leave that in your hands to amend that ordinance or whatever, that document.
Can I back up too and just talk about one kind act a day? So Curtis has reached out to me with a little bit of a follow-up, and I forwarded that just now to Ken. But I think our next steps are a resolution saying the city will participate in this, and then we're going to be kinder to each other. Dang it.
Well, as I was preparing for this, I got on their website, and I found that last year, April 12th, was Utah's One Kind Act a Day day. And so we're going to very quickly get some social media posts out there, and Mason got some signs, so we're going to try to quickly get the word out. But if the city wants to declare a separate One Kind Act a Day for North Salt Lake, that would be awesome. So... okay, next is personal wellness. The wellness survey that was conducted last year was done by special request of USU. It was an off year. They typically do it every other year, and they send it out to all of the cities at once. We didn't want to wait until 2026 to do it again, because that would mean 3 years since the last one. So we did elect to repeat it again this year, and all of you may have already completed this because it was released March 11th, and it will be closing shortly if it hasn't closed already. And we will share those results when we receive them.
Now, I'm an old guy, technologically challenged, but there was someone had shared it on Facebook or something, and I got on there, and there was no link. I couldn't link into it and do the survey. So someone help me there.
Okay. If you like, I'll email you a link. How about that? Okay. But on that topic, I think, was it Linda or Sherry? Somebody suggested just this afternoon, how about we print out copies? If we print out copies, because senior lunch bunch is next week, we can have them do it on paper. We did highlight it last month and showed them how to navigate to it, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be challenge-free for them. So we will be doing that next week with them. Okay. Also, we are going to be integrating health in all principles in city ordinances, plans, and policies. Or not, we're not going to. We're going to be looking at how the city could do that, because that's one of the things that we learned at that conference last year. It involves ways that the city can consider impacts on health and wellness in everything it does to ensure that people with special needs who just need a little bit of extra consideration, such as the elderly or the disabled, are not adversely impacted by something that gets built or something that gets done. So we'll be looking at recommendations that we can make to the city for implementing this. Additionally, under food and housing access. This is another challenge, and I think actually quite a lot of residents really struggle with this from what I'm seeing on social media, in particular healthy food. So there are existing resources in the community, and we're not looking to reinvent the wheel. In fact, the Youth City Council has been really good about supporting food drives, and we're focused on amplifying those efforts, not competing with them. Additionally, we want to explore resources that may be out there in the county or in the state to address homelessness and housing stability, things such as county programs, landlord mediation, etc. I know that from another volunteer gig I have, I know that there are, how do I say this? That there are corporate-owned apartment complexes that own a lot of apartment complexes, and navigating the lease issues that can arise can be a real challenge for some residents. Okay, under addiction, families that are dealing with any sort of addiction really struggle to find resources, and it's difficult for them to find a single list of resources to get them started. Instead, they have to hunt, and you know, they get sent all over the place looking for a good starting point. So what we're doing is creating a resource document that includes links that can be placed on the city's website. We'll also be working with Davis Behavioral Health to provide those resources at the Health and Wellness Fair in August. Under social media and newsletter, we recognize that we can do great activities and recommend things to the City Council, but without bi-directional communication with the community, we don't really get information or get the message out. We have in 2023, and we will continue in 2024 to provide Linda with suggestions for social media posts that we can then amplify as we try to get the word out regarding areas on which we are focusing or activities, events that we are sponsoring or co-sponsoring. Additionally, we're going to provide a city newsletter spotlight 3 times per year to focus on an amenity or event that we're working on. And then we have some ongoing activities that are not really technically part of our 2024 goals. In particular, as I mentioned before on the enhancement slide, we're coordinating with other city boards and committees at least annually to solicit feedback on health and wellness needs that they may see, and we're sharing our recommendations with them. We have a health and wellness committee member now assigned to liaise with each of those applicable sister committees, so they have a single point of contact. We will again be holding a health and wellness fair in conjunction with the city's Night Out Against Crime event in August. And preliminarily, I dare say it will be expanded because it's already expanding now. So it's in the planning process right now. And then lastly, we will be providing support for 3 Unity in the Community events, focusing on Juneteenth, Pride, and the Latin community. That's all I have. Does anybody have any questions? I guess that means that I covered it.
Okay. And this probably shows my ignorance, but so my dad goes over to the Bountiful Senior Citizen Center a couple times a week for lunch. And before that, my uncle would drive and take lunches to people around the community in Bountiful. Uh-huh. Is that a Bountiful program or a county program? Do you know?
It is a county program.
Yeah. And we support seniors going over there?
What we've done is they came and gave a presentation about what they offer to Senior Lunch Bunch. They offer transportation to and from the Bountiful location for any senior that needs it. Mm-hmm. And it's one driver. So it's the same driver every day, which is really, really important.
It used to be my uncle.
Oh, it did?
For many years, yes.
And they have lunch every day on weekdays. They have tax preparation. They have another thing they offer is, I think it's on Thursdays, tech support, which is huge. Mm-hmm. I know because I'm my mom's tech support, and that's a really scary thing. So, they offer some great things.
And I think health department.
They come and
give a little presentations and things like that.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that. But yeah, they do have periodic activities and things like that. So they really offer a lot. It's just getting the information out that is important. But it is a county thing. It's funded by the county. I don't know if they ask the city for anything that's not... Ken, have you ever gotten a request for supplementary funding based on the number of North Salt Lake seniors that attend?
No.
Okay, so it's purely county.
So that sounds like a great collab, since you guys are focusing on collabing. So they offer a lot, and why reinvent the wheel if they already offer that so close?
Yeah. Yeah. Great. That's awesome. Any other?
Janet, thank you.
You're welcome.
Great report. And what I'm wondering is if there are, is there anything else besides what you've already talked about that you would like City Council to explore? Are there things that you as a committee, you talk about, wouldn't it be great if fill in the blank, and that would require council action or deliberation or whatever? And I don't have anything in my head. Yeah. I'm just providing an opening in case there are some things.
Well, Elisa comes every month. So any requests we have, we know that we can go to her and she would come to City Council.
Elisa's kind of shy, though, about coming to us with this. So.
Really? but, you know, actually, if you ask me personally, my thing is funding, you know, because there will be things that we will, you know, if we're, Parks and Arts has funding, but if there's something that we want to sponsor, that we need, you know, cases of water and, you know, snack bars or something like that, that would be something that we would go to Elisa and say, hey, can you get this funding for us? But it might be something you want to think about for next year's budgeting, to just set aside some, just... not a huge amount, but anybody else?
Thank you, Janet. That was fantastic. It feels so rewarding to see that scope of what we've been working on, and your presentation was fantastic.
Well, thank you.
And thank you, Ted, for that question. I really appreciate that kind of open-ended request for interest and pointing our direction to where we'd like our citizen committees to be. And then I would also like to extend that to the rest of you in the committees where you're serving, that you also, as items come up that seem to fit within the health and wellness area, that we have this open door and we've assigned a liaison to all of these committees to tell us, like, you know, this is something our committee said we thought would matter in the city, but we think it might be within your purview. And so far, those collaborations have been really fantastic. We're really grateful. We've mostly worked with Parks and Arts, a little bit with the youth city council. So it's been really wonderful. A couple things we have coming up is we will have a conversation about amending the ordinance for health and wellness, the conversation about removing the emergency preparedness, and then a second piece that we've talked a little bit before in council about adding language where we invite committee members who are non-voting committee members. You can see the scope of what this committee is tasked with doing is so broad, but that if we can delegate into subcommittees some of those assignments, it allows us to utilize more citizen support as well as get more work done. So we wanted to kind of codify that a little bit in the ordinance. So we'll have that conversation moving forward.
Hmm. Anyone else? Okay.
Thank you, Janet.
Your time.
Thank you, Mason. Good report. Next item is discussion of sidewalk damage and repair.
Ken?
Thank you, Mayor. I'll just add my, I should have done this while we were on this item, but I'll add my thanks to Janet and Mason for coming tonight. I think that what's really encouraging in this committee, and it's kind of a new committee, and I need to stop saying that because it's not so new anymore, but it's wonderful to see committee members become engaged, and as we've worked to provide focus for ourselves in that committee, these two in particular have just really jumped in with both feet, and I feel like we have committee members who now are becoming more and more involved in health and wellness and what that means in North Salt Lake, and I'm very appreciative for them and for Janet's leadership too this year on the committee. Okay, now we'll talk about sidewalks. Yeah, that's okay. The purpose of this presentation today is to I will be making some recommendations to you at the end, but to kind of acquaint you with this area of what we do in the Public Works Department, and present to you some challenges that we have citywide. We talked a little bit in the retreat about sidewalk repair, and this will be a brief explanation of what we're talking about. So I just went ahead and threw some some pictures in without any text. I think this is a great way to see. This is the same tree in both pictures, one facing east and one facing west. You can see how a tree in this situation has is starting to move the sidewalk. It's not necessarily that panels are being lifted up, creating a trip hazard, which we will talk about. That does happen, but in this case, it appears that the sidewalk is actually being moved, and so the angle of the sidewalk is being moved, and over time, that also presents a hazardous condition for people who might not expect to have the sidewalk angle change abruptly, and they may not be looking, and so it can throw people off a little bit and become unsafe. But this is just an example of something that happens multiple times throughout the city. It's wonderful that North Salt Lake has trees, and we have old trees and older neighborhoods. But here's the first example. So I put this slide in because we see sidewalks in really good condition, but you can see that we have trees right next to those sidewalks, and as trees grow in the city, they can cause damage. These are two examples of locations where the sidewalks are surviving really well right next to some of those trees. And so different trees will cause different damage. I'm not a tree expert. And in this moment, I wish I was, but I'm not. Next one, maybe. Thank you, Wendy. So this is also a kind of a typical example of what happens sometimes in our older neighborhoods. And John and David might be able to explain what happens here, but in this yard, in the park strip and the front yard and in the sidewalk area, we see a lot of settling. And so you see a sidewalk that kind of undulates up and down a little bit. The curb is starting to maybe do that a little bit too. And this is typical of our neighborhoods that have been around for more than 50 years or 60 years. These neighborhoods in these pictures are just right around City Hall here. So in 2017, the city hired a company to come in and do a sidewalk condition survey. And we identified lots of locations where we had sidewalk damage in the city. This is just one example of the kind of data that we received. We also received some recommendations, and out of that report, we were able to craft a program where we began to replace sidewalks. We began to grind sidewalks, which I'll talk about, and really identified areas that needed attention. And you can see that in, Wendy, maybe you can put your mouse over that dense area just north of North Salt Lake. Yeah, that's right there. That's the older section of the city, one of the older segments of the city. And that's the area where the pictures came from. So, and you can see that a lot of our problems are in that neighborhood. This is just moving further into the city's response to this. You can see in this slide a picture of some severe damage that's caused by a tree on the other side of the fence. This is a trip hazard that needs to be repaired. And you can see as you look closer, these large uplifts and sinking of sidewalks, if you're not paying attention and you walk into this panel, this concrete panel, you're gonna trip. Maybe. You might be lucky and it could be in the middle of your stride, but really this is a significant hazard. And so in this case, the city did some work to remove the concrete and prepare the location for additional concrete. We cut out some of the tree roots that were causing the damage. We stayed on our side of the fence, but we removed some tree roots. And here's a couple of our folks working on that. And then the company that we hired to do concrete replacement came in and put those new panels in and corrected the problem. So this project cost us $881, and I'm assuming that's just the charge for the contractor. Or is that everything, David? Okay, so that's everything. That's our personnel costs and the contractor concrete costs. So you can see that to replace a section of concrete is really expensive at between $350 and $400. This is an approach we've taken quite a bit, and we do this every year, and that is for areas that are an inch and a half or less in distance, upward distance between two pieces of sidewalk, we can actually grind the top off and make a smoother transition. This would be a transition that might not look terrific, but it really ameliorates the trip hazard. And so we have in this slide, we have four specific locations where we've used this technique of grinding or sawing off a portion of the concrete to make this sidewalk safe. It's really an effective way to make sidewalks safe, but residents don't like it because they think it doesn't look good, and that's subject to opinion, but we do get complaints about doing it. And it doesn't take care of significant trip hazards that are larger than an inch and a half. And we have had injuries on our sidewalks in areas where we have trip hazards. Here's just one example of some areas in 2024 where we did some grinding. We had over 300 sites. These are in Foxborough. The next two pictures will be in Foxborough. And of course, the more sites that we do, the cost per site is different, is variable. So last year we did fewer sites. Maybe some were more significant, but anyway, we spent the same amount of money and did fewer sites. David, I don't know if there's anything you want to say about that, but anyway, these are locations where we have used grinding really effectively. Here's some history on the budgets that we have, or the funds that we've expended in past years on sidewalk attention to sidewalks and repairs. We have, I think importantly, we have raised the amount that we've spent, and because this problem is needs as much attention as we can afford to give it. I think my assessment is that we have made terrific progress in the city, but I don't believe that we've caught up yet. We're trying to do that. And in this upcoming fiscal year, we've requested another $65,000 for sidewalk repair. This problem is one that I only have one slide for, but this is a significant issue in the city. And what this is that we have a situation here where a resident who has lived in this home for a long time and has probably may have even planted that tree and has such an attachment to it that they would very much like their sidewalk fixed without impact or damage to the tree. In this case, it's likely unsafe for us to just randomly cut root systems. We could damage the tree. The tree could then be more susceptible to falling over or harming someone or harming property. This is a situation that we have in our older areas of the city and in the foothills that we have struggled with. I would say this about this picture. As the city does more repairs in these situations, I think that as a city council, we'd just like to know that we have your support when we make your neighbors upset that we're going to maybe remove some trees. And that's not really the central issue. I guess I'm just putting the council on notice that we're probably going to do this to people in the city as we try very hard to remove trip hazards in sidewalks. And so this situation is going to happen. We removed some trees, a year and a half ago, maybe, in the Edgewood neighborhood. And some residents were very upset about that. I think there's no other way to treat that situation than to just meet with folks, explain to them what the problem is, and we offered to replace the trees that we took out on their own front yards. And that's a good way to help people to feel better. But people get attached to trees. I'm attached to the trees in my yard, and we've had family arguments about whether we should take them down because I think they're great, and someone else I live with thinks they're not so good. So anyway, they're wonderful amenities. North Salt Lake is lucky to have such a great tree canopy all over the city. But it is a growing problem. That's not intended to be a pun, but it is. In the Foxborough neighborhood, it's gone from small to medium-sized trees to now maturing trees, and we have several problems in Foxborough. So this sort of attention is going to cut rise to your attention as neighbors are impacted. So I have these three recommendations for us. We think that it's time for us to perform, that is with the help of an outside party, to come in and analyze the condition of our sidewalks citywide. It would be good for us to know where we are now. Things have changed since 2017. Also, we have made a lot of progress in making repairs, but it would be good for us to have some actual data on where the trip hazards now are located. We have our folks out all the time. We identify locations that are problematic every day with our street crews and our public works crews. So, but we do think we need to perform an updated condition survey. What this specific recommendation means is that we will get a cost for the city council to consider, and we will probably add it to the fiscal year 25 budget that you haven't adopted yet, and we'll make sure that we bring that to your attention. So The next city council meeting that you have, which is May 7th, you will have a public hearing on the budget, and we will have that information for you at that time. So I'm sorry that we don't know how much it's going to be. The last time we did the survey, it was $30,000. So it's probably in the range of $30,000 to $35,000, I would guess. But that will help us really identify trouble spots throughout the city. We think the other thing I would say about that survey is what we didn't have the first time, I think we would try to do this time, and that is to classify the data a little bit better in a grading system or a risk analysis system or some other system that would allow us to understand what's the least to the worst and put it into sort of a way that we could deal with it and use our city resources in the best way to alleviate the worst problems first and then move down the list. So I just wanted you to sort of understand what we were trying to accomplish with the condition survey. It's an important piece that I think we're missing today. The second recommendation that I would ask that we could bring back to you is to strengthen our, and maybe clarify our ordinances or our rules about what happens when we replace sidewalk, and do we want to ask for owners, adjacent property owners, to participate in the cost of that. We've been looking at other communities along the Wasatch Front. Many communities have a program where they enter into a 50-50 cost share with residents. This is particularly important when residents approach the city, which happens a lot, that residents will call us and they will say, look, my sidewalk is old or it's broken or it's uplifted and it needs to be repaired. I'm just calling to request that the city make that repair. So I think in those cases, we've observed that in some of those cases, they are calling because there is a legitimate safety problem and we do need to address it, and we didn't know about it. But in a lot of cases, it's a cosmetic issue. Someone doesn't like the way it looks in front of their house. Maybe they think it does look old and they just think it ought to be replaced. And I think this, if we could have the city council's input on what you wish to do here, and I'm not really prepared to present you with data about other communities, but we think there's maybe some importance to considering some cost sharing with residents. That might particularly be true if a resident who planted a tree and now that tree is damaging the sidewalk, perhaps they have some responsibility as well. We can make our funds go a little further that way. It may not be something you want to do, but so what I would say here in summary on number two is that we'll bring back to you a report with what other communities are doing, including the communities around us, directly around us, what Bountiful does and Woods Cross and West Bountiful, Centerville, on this issue. I know that if I were on the city council, I'd be reluctant to ask more of the public, but I think we'll be prepared to show you circumstances where it might be important to have a cost sharing in this case. So the third recommendation is just simple, and I'm sure this is what you would do in any case, but just that we should, just as a reminder, we should annually set aside funds for this. This falls into that category that we talked about at the retreat of our community having aging infrastructure, and we just have to allocate funds every year to address that so that we don't get behind, so that these things can be, we can keep up with the need for safe sidewalks. And so anyway, that's really my presentation. Do you have anything to add, David? Do you want to add on this? I thank David for, he did most of these slides. I did the ones that didn't look as good. He did the ones that looked nice, so. Oh, no, I don't need to show that one. That was an area, a slide that showed where we did the concrete work, but I think I'm done, unless you have questions.
I just had a couple of comments. First of all, Salt Lake City assesses property owners for their, at least in the downtown area, for sidewalk beautification and also for repairs to that, to those sidewalks. So there is a precedent for it. When we moved in years ago, we hired a professional landscaper and indicated we'd like trees in the park strip, and they said, no problem. We know which ones the city will allow. And they put in flowering pear trees, and then I heard later, like, the city didn't really like those. Now I have a question in my mind, is there really even a tree that works in a park strip, or do they all become problematic at some point?
Yeah, that's a great question, and there may in fact be trees that work. We have a tree list that we share with residents. One of the things that we have discussed as a staff, and I know, and the council has discussed this also in the context of allowing people to remove turf. If you recall this ordinance that we did last year, we've allowed people to remove turf and replace it with non-irrigated material like rocks, but we also required some landscaping, but didn't include trees in that requirement. People could put trees back in, but they're not required to. So we've been discussing whether it makes sense to, in single-family neighborhoods, to encourage tree planting on the inside of the sidewalk, maybe 10 or 12 feet away from the sidewalk. And that would be a means of also beautifying the city, you know, not without giving up trees along our streets, but encouraging trees in front yards. So that's an idea we've discussed. We think it makes a lot of sense. So I don't know if any of my staff has a comment on tree types, if some of you guys know which trees do better. We don't. So I know there's a list, and flowering pear might be on the list, and maybe it shouldn't be, but that's something we ought to look at as well, is what sorts of trees do well in these situations.
I have just a quick question. Ken, can you remind me the legalities of ownership for sidewalk, park strip? I know when there are utility problems, sometimes there's shared cost and other times there aren't. So just remind me on that. And then just to clarify, right now we don't have an ordinance on whether you can or can't plant trees in the park strips.
So right now our ordinance wouldn't require someone to plant a tree, I don't believe, unless you know something different. I should ask, let the ordinance person answer that question.
Some of our developments that we've have P districts, we do have requirements for trees in the park strips. That's how you got a lot of the trees that you have in Foxborough, because their development agreement was that two trees in front of every home in the park strip, whether they were the right trees or not. The tree ordinance that we do have now is actually, it's a list of trees based on the area of the city. So it's the Foxborough area, it's the town center area, and then the east side based on soil conditions, and then based on the park strip size, there's a list of trees mm-hmm. that work in your area based on your park strip size. So whether it's a 3 foot, a 5 foot, or an 8 foot park strip, we have specific trees, small, medium, and large, that are listed.
And then the resident bears the cost of purchasing the trees and planting the trees based on that ordinance. And then legally, as far as sidewalk goes, as we've seen with roads and other things, sometimes different substances and different methods are kind of the method of the day. And then 10 years later, we see that worked well or that didn't work. I know we've had to repair our driveway, and sometimes we have a slab that starts to pit. So legally, who bears the responsibility of the actual sidewalk?
So that's a great question. some treatment of the sidewalk is the responsibility of the homeowner, clearing off snow, keeping the sidewalk clear and clean in a clean condition. But replacement of the sidewalk is unclear, and it probably belongs to the city. So it may be clear. I'm suggesting that maybe we share that in the future with adjacent property owners, or that we at least consider that.
So I like the point that the mayor was getting at or implying, and I'll just state it that I think that as we consider this, and you're going to come back to us, right?
Yes.
I like the idea of not penalizing when a landowner is following our standards, right? So their tree is on the approved list with the approved width, then, you know, perhaps we hold them harmless, something like that. I would have that be a consideration. But here's the main thing that I wanted to throw out is that there are communities that do not, they vary from their standard sidewalk replacement approach when there is a tree. They will reroute, they will bridge, they will do things that try to get at the win-win, keep the tree and avoid future maintenance needs. And it can be, you know, a variance from a standard approach. I would urge us to take a look at that and think about how we can keep the good trees, you know, and avoid ongoing maintenance issues that we might have.
So I was looking at that one, that last picture that said fix the sidewalk. That's my neighborhood. And
I hope it's not your house.
No, it's not my house, but I think I've tripped on that sidewalk before. And so I was, and you were saying the homeowner has been there a long time. So that has changed hands a couple of times since then. And I guess my question was, when the home changes hands, then that person definitely didn't plant that tree. Does the rule change? And can you then fix the tree? Because I was thinking if somebody does fall, and then who has responsibility? Because they didn't plant the tree, and then the city kind of doesn't win if they can't fix the sidewalk because they don't want to lose the tree, but then...
Yeah, if I said this person planted the tree, I was just using it as...
I know it was in general, but that's general. What I was thinking, because people get attached to the trees regardless of if they planted it or not, but I just...
A new owner might purchase a home because they love the tree.
You know,
That happens also. No, I think once the city is aware of a situation like this, we are liable if someone trips and falls and has a problem. So, Todd, if you want to add to that, you can, but...
That's generally true. There are some qualifications that can sometimes change that rule. But that's generally the correct answer. If that's trees in the park strip and it's affecting the sidewalk and property line is the back of the sidewalk. Yeah.
Yeah, so generally speaking, when someone has property damage or damage to themselves from a public trip or something on a public sidewalk or in a park or something, if it was caused by a problem that we knew about and did not correct, that's negligence on our part, generally. I mean, we hope that doesn't happen, but because we do try to correct things when we see them. This is a case that's harder to correct. So, and I appreciate Councilmember Knowlton. I think those are great ideas to look at other ways to keep the tree and repair the sidewalk.
I have a couple questions. Thank you. I think this is important, and it's something that I support both as a budget item and kind of an ongoing discussion on how we are proactive in this. My first question is about the study. Did you say the last time we completed a study of hazardous sidewalks was 2017?
Yes.
Is that what we said? Okay. And I think it's a great idea to have that updated. And then I would suggest considering as areas of the city are identified as potentially hazardous in the future, it would be helpful to contact those residents early and say, look, this tree is going to cause damage. And I know as a homeowner, if I just received a letter from the city that said, hey, you got to fix this, I'm assessing this value, it's going to, we want you to even cost share, but you're going to have to pay money, that might feel more startling than if I got a letter that said, we can foresee that in 3 or 4 years, this is going to damage the sidewalk. You can change the tree. You can prepare yourself so that when that cost comes in 4 years, you knew it was coming, and now we're going to assess that fee later on. Another piece to that is, and I just wanted to clarify, you had said when we were talking about this slide that if we do have to remove a tree, we offer to replace that tree. Is that always the case?
I don't think we've, well, let me just answer it this way. We don't have a blanket response that's the same every time. I think some of these situations just require us to use our best judgment. So in the case that I mentioned up in the Edgewood neighborhood, that was something that I offered to the homeowners as a way to help folks feel a little bit better about us removing so many trees in the park strip.
And I would suggest that that maybe become part of the standard operation, and that could be part of the tree initiative that we have and the budgeting that we have set aside for trees as well, that if we're removing a tree, we're offering a tree also to residents, even proactively. Like, this tree is going to damage the sidewalk in 4 years. You can cut it down right now, and we'll give you a new tree that's not likely to damage the sidewalk in this area. That's just one way to consider it. I also think, thinking as a homeowner, I would also appreciate the offer of advance notice. We can see this is problematic. You might need to replace it in the future. Even if there are, or if there is a resident that contacts the city and says, hey, I don't like the look of this, we don't determine that it's something that maybe is the city's responsibility to correct. I would love the resource to say, but the city will fix it and we'll just bill you for the full cost. Because that price, $880 for 2 panels of concrete, is not something you could get out there on the market, I don't think, if you brought in a landscaper to do that same project. And so putting in the kind of continuum of offers to residents, you know, we're maybe not going to share this cost, but we will do the work and you can pay for the work. Or we're going to do the work, you pay for half, we pay for half. Or in this situation, we're going to do all of the work. It's such a hazard that we know that this needs to happen, but we're going to need to take down your tree and we'll replace the tree. But there could be this whole continuum of kind of, this is where we see the resources that we can provide. And I think that that would be based on the findings in the study of how immediately hazardous is this particular sidewalk. I think this is a great idea. Thanks for bringing this.
You bet. So, yes, thank you. One of the assignments we have from the council that we're working on is this assignment you've given us to look at programs to get trees into the hands of property owners. And I think there's a good way to maybe put these programs together a little bit. And so I really do like the idea of being able to say, look, we have to remove a tree, but we have a tree for you in its place. It's a good suggestion. Thank you.
Thank you, Ken. Heidi, let's bump you down in the agenda a little bit, and let's take a quick break, and we'll adjourn in 8 minutes. Can we do that?
We can do it.
You guys are pushing me up every week. Thanks.